Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. We're going to do something different on this episode. The regular season has ended in minor league baseball, so we're going to take a look at the teams in the Cubs system, and we're going to look at the teams and from Eugene up to Iowa, and then we're going to look at the players that were the top 10 Cubs prospects, according to Baseball America, heading into the 2016 season. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
Kurt. So let's jump right in here, fellas. Let's start by looking at the teams. I should mention we're recording this on Wednesday, before the playoffs have started for the minor league teams, and basically I want to mention that we're recording it on Wednesday so that people don't think we're crazy for not talking about something big that's happened with the Cubs, but I'm heading out of town this weekend, so we're doing this early. So let's start with Eugene. Kurt, how did Eugene do this year?
Eugene did quite well. I think this is a pretty good place to start. They had one of the best seasons in minor league baseball history, which is kind of strange to say because minor league baseball has been around for a long time. But their first half record was 28-10. And their second half record was 26-12 for an overall 54-22, which is a 7.11 winning percentage. I think the record was like in the high sevens, close to 800. So I think they were flirting with it at one time because in August, they actually won 15 straight about the time the Cubs went on that long winning streak. The Eugene did the same. And they've got a few prospects, and we're going to touch on some of those later. Dylan Cease is there. But kind of one of the interesting, unexpected standouts was Manuel Rondon, who was 6-1 in 12 starts with a 1.1 ERA. And, you know, he's kind of an off the radar prospect. They picked him up when they traded Rafael Lopez last year to the Angels. And he, you know, was probably not on anybody's radar, but probably jumped onto a few with that performance this year. So they've, with that record, made the playoffs, and they'll start their playoff series next week.
Trying to corner the market on Rondones.
Yep. Yeah.
Man, 12 starts and a 1.1 ERA, which, I mean, you know, I guess you see that, you know, more at the lower levels, but still,
and
that's impressive.
And he's not like a lot of these guys are really, really young, and he's not old by any means, but probably one of the older short season guys. I think he's like 23 or 22. So,
Okay.
Not old, but not a high school kid.
Right. Yeah. So moving up a level to South Bend, they had a good season. They made the playoffs after finishing the first half of the season with the best record in their division. They finished the season with an 84-55 record, a 6.04 winning percentage. And it's also worth noting that South Bend set an attendance record this season. And when I was at Cubs convention in January, I was talking with one of the front office guys from South Bend, and it just seems like they're having a blast. You know, ever since the Cubs moved to South Bend, and I think it allowed them to improve their facilities and. You know, just the extra attention that they get from being so close to Chicago, and probably the extra resources that are kind of sent their way because of that. And obviously it helps to have record attendance. I think they said it last year too, for their team. So, you know, their organization's history. So it's good to see. And, you know, attendance is very important to minor league teams because their budgets are usually pretty shoestring. So that's good for the baseball in South Bend, and it's good for the Cubs, and it's good for the players. So, yeah, it's good to see them have a successful season so far, and hopefully they'll do well in the playoffs. And I'm kind of hoping that we'll get the. I think they actually started. They start the playoffs in Cedar Rapids, and I know that Peoria is in the playoffs too. So I'm kind of hoping that maybe the Cubs or the South Bend Cubs will make their way to Peoria at some point. So, and then in High A we have Myrtle Beach, of course.
Yeah, let's get out of the Midwest for a cotton picking minute and head over to the East Coast to Myrtle Beach. The first half for Myrtle Beach was pretty mediocre as they played to a 36-34 record. But then the second half came along and they went 45-22 in the second half to become the Southern League champions. They start their playoff run today against Salem, and in fact, they've won that game already. So Trevor Clifton has been their best pitcher. He was going in today's game. He was the Carolina League Pitcher of the Year and Minor League System Pitcher of the Year for the month of August. And they've also had great performances from recent draft pick Donnie DeWeese and David Boat. And David Boat has a 27-game on-base streak going currently. So they're already off to a great start in the playoffs, and so it'll be interesting to see how they do.
Yeah, I'm going to correct you just for a second, Andy. You said they're in the Southern League, but actually they're in the Carolina League. Yeah, but I mentioned that because that's a good segue to the Southern League and the Tennessee Smokies. And the Smokies didn't have a great season. The first half of the season, they were 12 games under 500. They had a 400 winning percentage, 28-42. Actually, that would be a 14 games under 500. Sorry. And then in the second half, they were 9 games under 500. You know, this I think kind of shows too that with these minor league teams, I mean, it's not necessarily an indication of. I mean, it's good for Cubs prospects to get playoff experience, you're kind of looking at individual players, and I guess the fact that the Smokies didn't make the playoffs, that doesn't mean like, oh, that portion of our prospects, that segment of our prospects are in bad shape. It just means that that team didn't make it, so it's really no big deal. And then Iowa.
Yeah, Iowa had an equally mediocre season and finished at 67-76 for third in their division. So they won't be going to the playoffs this year. Really, I think, you know, to put a finger on what made them not so great this year, probably the starting pitching. And we've noted throughout the years that the advanced starting pitching prospects aren't quite there. There's some guys in the lower levels, but we know that starting pitching isn't their strength at this higher level. And it showed Jake Buchanan led all starters with a 4.34 ERA. And, you know, the Pacific Coast League is known as a hitter's league, so you don't expect huge pitching performances out of there. But, you know, nobody really stood out. Buchanan probably had the best season there. So, you know, and a lot of these guys you're familiar with, so I won't spend a lot of time on individual players. But, you know, not a great overall season for Iowa, which is a little different from what we've seen in the past when they were so overstocked with prospects. Now they're back to what they used to be, which is, you know, reinforcements for the Cubs.
Right.
Should somebody get hurt.
Yeah. And a place to stash people like Kawasaki and Matt Merton. And yep. Speaking of which, I really hope Matt Merton gets the opportunity to make it on the roster here in September. But
I was kind of surprised not to see him.
Which makes me wonder if, I mean, I hate to say that he doesn't want to, because you would think he does, but I don't know. It sure seems like they just give him the opportunity at some point.
Yeah, I wonder if there's some sort of like coaching track that may be coming from this.
Right. Yeah, that's possible. Yeah,
he's our new Manny Ramirez.
Right. Right. Well, before we move on to the individual prospects, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or that show that you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. So, you know, you can sign up for the lottery to be selected for the opportunity to buy Cubs playoff tickets. And chances are you're probably not going to get them, or you're not going to get necessarily every game you want. So SeatGeek is where I would suggest watching tickets. Of course, they're going to be pretty prime prices, I guess. But that's where you can use SeatGeek to find the best deal, set the alerts so that when the prices do drop or whatever, you can grab them quick. So they do all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites to ensure that you get the best deal possible. They do all the work, save you time and money, and SeatGeek wants you to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value, so you will immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to get the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their SeatGeek purchase, their first SeatGeek purchase. So to get your $20 rebate on tickets, go to or download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and add click on add a promo code, and then enter the promo code Ivy, IVY in all capital letters, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Ivy today. What we did was we looked at the top 10 preseason prospects, and I thought that this would be kind of an interesting thing to do because as we'll find out, not all of these guys are with the Cubs, and some made appearances or with the Cubs organization, and some made appearances with the big league team. And I thought that, I think that this kind of gives us like a little bit of a snapshot of what mode the Cubs are in right now. Before they were kind of in like the compiling mode where they just piled up prospects and they didn't really trade them away. If anything, they added to it. But I think there's like kind of a variety to this list, and that's what I thought. Actually kind of enjoyed looking at the list just because of that. So let's start off with the number one prospect before the season started, and that is Gleyber Torres.
Yeah, he was having a pretty good season with Myrtle Beach until the trade to the Yankees and the Chapman deal. So he's gone now. In 94 games with Myrtle Beach, he had 98 hits with 9 homers and 47 driven in. And we were excited about him. I think he was the guy that we saw in the B game this spring destroy a homer.
Yes, we did. Yep.
And so we had already seen what a dynamic player he can be. And now he's gone in an effort to bring Chapman in this season.
Yeah. So let's take it to the other extreme. We have a player that's no longer in the system, and then we have one that's made an impact, and Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, so I think we're all a bit surprised when Wilson came up as soon as he did, and he made his debut on June 17th. So, but he did start in Iowa and kind of forced their hand because he was just crushing the ball, and his slash line in Iowa was 353, 442, 593. And he had hit 9 home runs already. So offensively, he had progressed, I think, probably as far as he was going to in AAA. And we knew he had some work to do defensively. But obviously, the Cubs thought he was ready, and they pulled him up. So, he had a few question marks around the defense and also his ability to call a complete game with big league pitchers. But I think he's shown he can do that. He certainly has room for improvement. But, you know, he's a young kid and this is his first season up. So, keep that in mind as you evaluate him and his pitch calling and stuff like that. So his arm has been a huge asset, and we've seen a lot of that with those snap throws down to first. And his caught stealing rate is 32% this year. So that's quite good. He'll just continue to work on the defense and receiving. And I think if he can get to just average with his bat, like, he's a huge, huge asset at catcher. So with the Cubs this year, he hit 268 and had 9 home runs. And I don't think any of us expected him to bump Miggy out so quickly. He was probably...
Well, Miggy did. I mean, yeah. Miggy's made comments about that in the past. Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, I certainly didn't expect it. And it's been a nice surprise. And you know, we all knew he was a good prospect, but then to have him come up in his first partial season with the Cubs to perform this well has been really awesome.
Yeah, and I really like what Contreras brings to this team. I think you have such like a steady team, and when you look at Russell and Bryant and Rizzo and just all these young guys that have worked their way up through the system, and like they're just so mature and steady and just it seems like there's kind of that characteristic is somewhat common through this team. And I love that Contreras is not necessarily that, that he's kind of more of like a firecracker. Mm-hmm. And I think we talked about this on a recent episode, but I just really like that he brings some fire to the team. And I think that that could be handy if, you know, the Cubs need a bit of a pick me up or just somebody to kind of get them fired up at some point. I think he's ready and willing to play that role. And I mean, I saw him play that role in a Cubs game that I went to this year, that extra innings loss to the Braves. But he hit a triple. I don't think there were any outs, and he hit a triple. It might have been an extra innings or in the ninth inning, maybe to and I think he eventually tied it up so to send it into extras. But I mean, he hit that triple and was just flying around the bases. And I mean, just like, I mean, when he stood up at third, he was just pounding his chest and screaming. And it's just, I kind of enjoy seeing that sometimes, you know. I mean, it's fun to see a player get wound up like that. And so, I just really like what he brings to this team.
Yeah, and I definitely do too. I think that some of the scout questions come from how will that play on when they're not playing as well or when he's not playing as well.
Right.
So, you know, the firecracker players always look good when they're hitting the ball and when the team's playing well. And
right.
I think like you were just saying with the makeup of the players around him, it won't be a problem. At least that's my hope. And so far, so good.
Yeah. So the number three prospect was Ian Happ. And the Cubs drafted him in 2015 in the first round, ninth overall. Plays outfield and second base, primarily a second baseman. He played more at second base this year than the outfield. He played about half of his games in Myrtle Beach and half in Tennessee. In Myrtle Beach, he hit just under 300, and he had an OPS of 885. And then when he went to Double-A Tennessee, his batting average dropped to 262, and his walks decreased pretty dramatically from 16.4% down to 7.3%. And I think that Double-A is where Happ needs to be right now. And I would, you know, I guess if I was kind of looking ahead, I would expect to see him start there in 2017. And I think that, just in general, and looking at this list, I was thinking that with the guys that the Cubs have in the system, I think this group is going to take a more, traditional route to the major leagues. There's no Chris Bryant or Addison Russell's in this system. And I think if you look at Happ's track, it's more of a traditional one that we saw with the Cubs. You know, before this kind of influx of really top prospects and then, you know, just what I think most people see around baseball. So that's Ian Happ. Good first half and dropped a little bit in the second half. And hopefully he's learned some things and seen some things and kind of pick it up to start the season next year. So next up is Dwayne Underwood Jr.
Yeah, the top pitching prospect on the preseason list has had a rough couple of years just dealing with injuries. He was sidelined for 2 months last season with an elbow injury, and he started out camp this year with elbow tenderness and allergy problems. And if you guys remember that, they sent him to minor league camp pretty much immediately because of those issues. I would imagine it was more the elbow tenderness than the allergies, but anyway, he pitched to an 0-5 record with a 4.91 ERA in Tennessee until they placed him on the 7-day DL. Now, he's started four games since then, since a rehab start and in some time in Arizona. He started three games with South Bend and then one with Myrtle Beach, and he's currently on the Pelicans roster as they gear up for their playoff run. So hopefully next season he can show some durability and the ability just to stay healthy for a while because he is a promising pitcher when he's healthy and sharp.
I guess you would expect to see him drop on the rankings, the prospect rankings here heading into next season.
I would certainly expect that, yes.
Yeah. So follow him up with another pitcher, and Kurt Yerdy kind of mentioned Dylan Cease.
Yeah, Cease was a sixth round pick in 2014, and he, you know, that sounds kind of like, what, sixth round pick? He's a number five prospect. But the reason for that is that he had Tommy John surgery right before the draft, and so he really fell. He was supposed to go to Vanderbilt, but because the Cubs were able to draft Schwarber so far under slot and what they paid him, they were able to throw a really good bonus at Cease and kind of pull him away from Vanderbilt and get him out of high school at a really, a reduced rate from what he probably would have gone had he gone to Vanderbilt and pitched a few years there. So he's got a bit of a risk in the fact that he has had that Tommy John surgery, but he excites a lot of people with his velocity. He can hit 100. And so they're going to take their time with him a little bit because of that surgery. He pitched just 44 innings this year and 12 starts. So he was obviously on a pretty short leash. He, that equates to less than 4 innings per start. He did have a pretty good ERA at 2.22, but like we've said, like numbers at this level are kind of hard to evaluate without seeing them. But, you know, for the most part, he's got a high ceiling. And if he can get healthy and stay healthy, he's pretty exciting prospect because of that velocity.
Yeah. But we're a few years away with him.
He's only 20.
But he's somebody to definitely watch. And, I mean, he's somebody that as he makes his way to South Bend, he's somebody that I would definitely like to see pitch just based on what I've read, reports on his pitching. I would like to see it.
Well, and there were some, you know, reports he was throwing 100 in high school. So if you can imagine kind of like him facing low A hitting, and if he can't touch 100, or at least if he's sitting 97, 98 with his fastball,
yeah,
that could be pretty cool to see. It could be pretty dominating.
Right, yeah. So number six on the list is Albert Almora Jr. We saw Almora hit the majors this year and show us what he will most likely be. And that is a glove first outfielder that almost never walks. I think that kind of sums him up. So he hit .262 in his time with the Cubs so far this year. Now with being called up, it's expected that those numbers will change one way or the other, probably. But he had an OBP of under 300. And so that kind of shows you where his weakness is. But the glove, I mean, it is just a weapon. And I think that the bat and the lack of walks might be what keeps him off the playoff roster this year. And it could be potentially what starts him off in Iowa again next year. But depending on what the Cubs do in the offseason and how the outfield depth looks. I think, you know, in looking at the playoff roster, while I don't think he's going to make it, I would sure rather have his glove than Caesar's or Coughlin's. But I don't think the bat is quite there yet. Although, you know, in some ways, his bat was somewhat of a pleasant surprise at times when he was up with the Cubs earlier. So far, he's played 35 games for the Cubs. Fangraphs has him at a 0.7 WAR. So that tells you how valuable his fielding is. And I really do think that he is a Gold Glove caliber defender. And I think that if you have Hayward and Almora next to each other in the outfield, it's really hard to have a ball drop in there between those two. And it's also worth noting that Almora played really well in Chicago. He hit over 300, or in Iowa, I mean, he hit over 300, and but his OBP was still just 14 points higher than his batting average. So wasn't drawing walks in Iowa either, so... That's Albert Almora. And number seven on the list is Billy McKinney.
Yeah, BM, as I like to call him. just kidding. Just kidding, Billy. He was also traded to the Yankees in the Chapman deal. So he was having a little bit of an off year as he hit .252 in 88 games for Tennessee this season. But he had a big injury. He had a hairline fracture in his knee due to getting hit by a foul ball. And never really seemed to get back up to speed from that injury. So where he was a guy that I believe was kind of a threat to play any of the outfield positions, he's still definitely probably a corner outfielder. He probably is for sure a left fielder post-injury. And so he's gone now. He's in the Yankees organization.
And then number eight is Oscar De La Cruz.
De La Cruz has been in the organization for a bit. He signed with them in 2012 in the international signing and was originally a shortstop, but struggled, kind of looked like one of those guys that wasn't going to pan out. But then he transitioned to a pitcher in 2013 and jumped on a lot of rankings radar last year. This is a guy that you'll hear a lot of scouts talk about his body, and you know, you hear that thrown around a lot, but he's 6'5 and 220, and supposedly he's still growing. So
6'5, 220, and started as a shortstop.
Yeah, which is hilarious. So apparently he keeps growing, and so there's some people thinking he could like kind of finish out at like 6'6, 250, which is even more hilarious that he was once a shortstop. But yeah, he gets a lot of attention for his size in the baseball. So you think about a pitching prospect that big who also has a really good fastball with a lot of movement, and he's only been pitching for a few years, he'll get a lot of attention and get himself into a top 10 ranking. So if he can get some secondary pitches, he could really, really be good. And he started with Eugene this year and pretty quickly moved himself to South Bend. And, you know, again, numbers aren't going to tell you a lot. He was 1-2 with a 3.25 ERA, but like, again, he's probably working on those secondary pitches, so you're not going to see his best stuff because he's really trying to build those up. But, you know, as a prospect, he's got, a high ceiling, could potentially be great or, you know, or maybe not. But
nothing to lose. Yeah,
he looks like a guy who could surprise some people.
Interesting. So number nine was Eloy Jimenez. And Jimenez spent the entire season at low A, South Bend. And we talked about him maybe, I don't know, 4 or 6 weeks ago. And I mentioned that my brother, who is not a huge baseball guy, went to see South Bend play in Clinton. And during that game, he texted me and asked me about Jimenez. So he's kind of, I guess what that tells me is he's one of those guys that stands out. And in seeing him at spring training both last year and this year, I would agree with that. I don't want to draw a complete comparison, but kind of like how I remember seeing Jorge Soler play with Kane County, and or was it with Peoria? It was in Peoria, but I can't remember if the Chiefs were, I don't remember, but whatever, it was low A, and like he just definitely stood out. I mean, you knew that he was something different, and that's kind of, I think in a way, that's kind of what Jimenez is like. He was also just recently named the Midwest League Most Valuable Player, so that's pretty awesome. He's only 19 years old, still has a lot of development to do, but he hit .329 this season. His walk rate was pretty low, and we know how much this front office values walks, so I would expect that that will be something that maybe kind of starts creeping up here in the next few years as they maybe work with him a little bit more. I don't expect Jimenez to make any extreme jumps next year. I think he would, start with Myrtle Beach, and it would be pretty awesome if he could end the season with Double A Tennessee. But at the same time, he's one of those guys that you wouldn't be surprised if in 2018 or 2019 he makes some huge strides and ends up on the Cubs roster. But I wouldn't count on it. But yeah, I mean, like many of these guys that we're talking about, they're a few years off. But it's just encouraging that you see solid seasons from these prospects. And a solid season in low A is still a good sign. But there is a lot of time and a lot of development between now and him impacting the big league club. And number 10, the last one on the list for us here tonight, is Jamer Candelario.
Big finish. You may remember our buddy Jamer, that he had a brief 11 at-bat stint with the Major League Club this season, in which he collected one hit. So it wasn't a memorable little cup of coffee with the Cubs, but the third baseman started with Tennessee and scuffled a little there before heading to Iowa, where he has thrived this season. He owns a .333, .417, .542 slash line there. And though those sound like they would be small sample size numbers, that line comes from 264 at bats. So that 417 on base percentage really jumps out at me.
Yeah.
He maintains a pretty good walk rate, 38 walks over that span of time. So he's been pretty good. And I was also a little surprised to not see him get the call too. And it's not too late, but I think it's getting less likely.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of like while you're kind of surprised that he didn't get the call, it's also hard to see him getting a ton of playing time.
Sure.
But yeah, I was kind of excited about him coming up to join the Cubs, but he not only, I mean, did he only get one hit in 11 at bats? Like, he just did not look good. No. He looked outmatched. So, obviously needing some more time in the minors.
Yeah.
Now, this is totally putting both of you on the spot, but does he feel like a potential trade piece, like, at some point? Just the fact that he's, well, I mean, where the heck is he going to play?
Well, I kind of think...
He's so close.
I kind of feel like maybe he would have been if he hadn't looked so unimpressive when he came up. I think that, in a way, I mean, that was before the trade deadline. That kind of been a way to showcase him a little bit, but you look at... You know, Andy, you mentioned the 333 batting average and 417 on base, and it's almost like maybe he would have been better showcased in Iowa and just let those numbers stand for themselves. So I think for him to be a valuable trade piece, I kind of feel like he needs to, now he's going to have to show that he can be at least serviceable at the major league level. What do you think, Andy?
Well, I mean, but possibly that, since that little stint was so short, so brief, that I think any team in the right mind would consider him more based on his, what he's done in AAA. I mean, that's got to linger in the back of their mind, but I think he still is could be a valuable trade piece, maybe in the off season or, you know, going forward at some point.
Yeah. Did you have any thoughts on that, Kurt?
No, I just kind of thought he was. And then plus with like, a guy like Christian Villanueva, who was out for the whole season, coming back. Not that he's a huge prospect, but you know, you're pretty stacked with infield depth already. And then,
although he has no options left, right?
Yeah, Villanueva doesn't look promising, I guess.
I mean, if you would have told me in spring training that he would be on this roster in the Cubs organization at the end of this year, I would have said, oh, he must have had a season-ending injury before the season started.
Yeah. Well, only if he breaks his leg.
All right. Well, so this was kind of a little quick glance at the preseason top 10 prospects before this season. And, man, this season just went fast. Like, it feels like it's gone kind of fast for the major league team, but it really it's hard to believe that the minor league season is already finished, and these playoff series go pretty quick here in the postseason for the minor league. So it was overall a good season, I think, for a lot of the Cubs prospects and the teams in general. So so this episode was a little bit different. If this is your first time finding us, we typically do focus on the major league team. Hopefully you enjoyed this little glance at the minors, though. So we will be back on Wednesday evening to talk about the last week in Cubs baseball. And until then, go Cubs.